Good afternoon. My name is Erica Felci, and on behalf of the board, I'd like to call this meeting to order and call for any public comment. We received no written comment ahead of the meeting for the public comment on closed session, and I don't see any hands raised. The board will adjourn to closed session. Good afternoon. We're just waiting for our other board member to attend, and then we will get the open session started.
All right. Welcome back, directors of Deseret Community Energy. Erica got this meeting started at 3 o'clock. I'll do my best to run the meeting until we have officers, if that's okay with the two of you.
It is.
Well, then let's move on to item number 3, reconvene to regular session and roll call. There is no reportable action coming out of closed session. Erica, can you do the roll call for us?
Yes, good afternoon, board members. City of Palm Desert?
Present.
And City of Palm Springs?
Present.
Thank you.
All right. Item number 4 is agenda modifications. We do have one. We are going to postpone a presentation related to item 8D as in dog, 8E as an elephant, carbon-free commercial customer recognition program. We'll put that on a future agenda. That's okay with the two of you.
It is.
Next is public comment on agenda items. Do we have anybody that's asked to speak to the board?
We've received no written comments, and I don't see any hands raised at this time.
All right. We do have another opportunity for public comment at the end of the meeting. With respect to board member and director comments from your staff here, just again, another welcome. Do either of the board members have comments that have an informational nature that they want to share?
Yeah.
Then let's move on to the consent calendar. And this is going to be probably a first in CVAG's history, where we asked people to approve minutes that weren't a part of the committee at all, nor in attendance. Feel free, we could either move your consent calendar in block as a whole, and note, you don't have to be in attendance to approve minutes. You're just recognizing that the minutes were done. And I think Erica prepared those as she always has. And we do have an audio record if you ever wanted to go back and check. Is there a motion? The minutes.
Under those circumstances.
All right. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Hearing no noes, that unanimously approved. Now on to discussion action items. The first is election of officers. Do we have a motion for a chair?
I would like to make a motion to nominate Lisa Middleton as the chair.
All right. Hearing no others. Ms. Middleton, you've been a motion. There's a motion. Is there a second?
There's a second.
All right. We have a motion, a second. No other candidates. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Chair Middleton, congratulations. We still need to elect a vice chair. You want to take over now?
I move that Palm Desert and Veronica Chavez be named as our vice president.
Great. Do we have a second?
I will second.
There are no other candidates. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Been unanimously approved. Thank you.
Excuse me.
Chair Middleton, it's all yours.
All right. Next item is 8B, as in boy, legislative platform, and that will be Mr. Carlstrom.
Peter, we can't hear you.
Hello, good afternoon, honorable board. My apologies. My name is Peter Carlstrom, and I'm here to present the item before you, which is Deseret Community Energy's 2023 legislative platform. So just a quick overview here. The DCE board has previously taken advocacy positions. A couple quick examples would be in 2021, the Deseret Community Energy Board supported ratepayer equity legislation in the form of SB 612. In 2022, the DCE board adopted a resolution to support and protect expansion of rooftop solar, to give you a couple of quick examples. Adoption of this legislative platform would enable DCE staff to take positions aligned with DCE mission. This legislative platform is patterned after CVAG's legislative platform, which was approved by the executive committee back in February of 2022 and was readopted for fiscal year 23 in December of 2022. And finally, this follows the best practices of other community choice aggregators like Desert Community Energy. So we organized our legislative platform in seven guiding principles, and I'm going to give you a real brief overview of what each of these entails. So the first guiding principle is decarbonization, and this refers to initiatives that provide funding and incentives for clean energy, energy efficiency, decarbonization, and green building programs. The second guiding principle is local generation and procurement, and this would enhance the ability of Desert Community Energy and other community choice aggregators to invest in local and regional renewable energy resources. The third guiding principle is community choice, and this relates to initiatives that would maintain or improve the stability of community choice aggregators and invest in, and implement an equitable regulatory structure with relation to other investor-owned utilities. The fourth guiding principle is grid capacity and resilience, and this relates to initiatives that increase grid capacity and strengthen its resilience during periods of high demand. The fifth guiding principle is access to clean energy, and this relates to initiatives that increase accessibility to clean energy technology for all households. Sixth, we have electric vehicles and charging, and this relates to supporting initiatives that expand the adoption of EVs and increase the deployment of EV charging infrastructure. And finally, education refers to the development of workforce training programs and the education of the general public on energy efficiency principles. Staff recommendation is to adopt DCE's 2023 legislative platform to expand DCE's advocacy efforts and support initiatives that are in alignment with DCE's mission. And with that, if you have any questions, I'm happy to take them.
I would make a motion that we approve the 2023 platform, legislative platform.
I'll second that motion.
And just a very quick note to let you know that we ran the draft platform by staff at both the City of Palm Desert and the City of Palm Springs.
Great.
Thank you.
All right, Chair, you've got a motion before you.
Excuse me. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No abstentions. Motion is approved. And thank you to Mr. Carlson's. Next item is 8C, contract amendments with Deer Creek Solar LLC for Deer Creek Solar and Storage Project. And that goes to Mr. Friedman.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, Chair Middleton and Vice Chair Chavez. This agenda item is for amendments to Desert Community Energy's agreements for the Deer Creek Solar and Storage Project in Tulare County in the Central Valley. The DC Board approved the original agreements in February 2021. In February 2022, the Board authorized the Executive Director to execute amendments to account for delays in the project's interconnection to Southern California Edison's transmission grid. However, because of global supply chain issues and the federal government's tariff investigation of solar module suppliers in four Southeastern Asian countries, the parties were unable to reach agreement and continued their discussions throughout 2022. Following a two-year suspension of the higher import duties and passage of the Inflation Reduction Act last year, Deer Creek and DC staff recently reached agreement on an amendment to the PPA that extends the commercial operation date based on SCE's current estimate for the completion of interconnection facilities and increases the price to be paid by DCE for the renewable energy and battery storage to reflect current market conditions. DC can terminate the PPA and draw down on the development security if Deer Creek does not start construction as of the revised guaranteed construction start date. DC staff have also finalized an amendment to the renewable energy purchase and sale agreement, increasing procurement quantity. because of the terms of the current amendments have changed since the amendments that the board approved last year, staff is coming back to you for reapproval of the amendments. Staff recommends that the board authorize the executive director to negotiate and execute amendments to the Renewable Power Purchase Agreement and Renewable Energy Purchase and Sale Agreement with Deer Creek Solar One. That concludes my staff report. I'm available for any questions you may have, and Jacqueline Haar of the Energy Authority, our procurement advisors, is also available. Thank you.
David, this is going to cost us more money and it's going to take longer. How confident are you that they are going to be able to meet their schedule for construction and coming online?
Well, we've been working very closely with them and with their council. I mean, this is something that we've expecting. Supply chain issues are starting to ease up a little bit. We are seeing a number of projects throughout the market, and Jacqueline potentially can also comment on any market conditions, but projects are now starting to sort of get out of the bottleneck and back into the pipeline. That being said, yes, we are monitoring. We are likely to get this project together, given the current market conditions of helping. That being said, we do have a negotiated power to pull the project. They have another roughly 5 months, a little bit less than that, to get their agreements that I mentioned on signed and start their construction. So this is a question of very closely monitoring. And also there are some additional reporting obligations that they have so that we'll actually be getting monthly reporting from them. So it's not sort of stop and then wait until June to hear back from them. We have additional reporting that we'll be getting as soon as we sign the amendments.
Very good. Is there anything from a board standpoint that you need from us beyond the approval to move forward?
At this point, it would be the recommendation to approve the agreements to authorize Tom as executive director to sign them. The execution versions are ready, and I'll get them ready for signature really in the next day or so, because we'd like to get them, tell them it's time to get moving.
Great. Veronica, any questions?
I have no additional questions. I would move for approval.
I'll second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that's the two votes. So this is item 8C is approved. We will move on to item 8D is in David, DCE financial outlook. And that's Ms. Haar.
Hello. Nice to meet both of you as board members, Councilmember Middleton.
We lost you.
It looks like we do have a connection problem. And while we wait for her to reconnect, I'm sure she'll be able to. Just by way of background, the Energy Authority is our energy expert, and they've been with us even before Desert Community Energy was formed. They helped us with the formation of the CCA to begin with, and they buy and sell electricity for us. They are essentially our procurement agent and have a lot of background in the marketplace, and are a nonprofit and still a very major player here in the California Community Choice Aggregation Market. Jacqueline, you're back.
Just in time to hear positive words. Thank you, Tom.
Don't let anybody tell you that I was saying nice things about you and TEA.
Appreciate it. Yes, so council members or board and vice chair, glad to meet you and to present to you the DC financial outlook. This is a presentation that I come to the board to present once a quarter, along with any other risk issues that may be of interest to the board or should be brought to the board's attention regarding wholesale energy procurement that TEA does on behalf of DCE. So for the key takeaways regarding the financial update is that we have seen a steady march of increased energy prices over the past 3 months since the last presentation in October. About 30% for this year and for 2024 as well. DCE is protected from some of these energy price increase due to its hedging program. As part of DCE's risk management strategy around power prices, We go and do forward energy procurement on behalf of DCE to hedge its position. So taking small bites of the apple every few weeks in order to ensure that you aren't buying at the top of the market or the bottom of the market. You're just dollar cost averaging. And therefore, when you get sudden jumps in energy prices, it's not a large impact to the DCE budget. So 2023, as of right now, is over 80% hedged for our target hedges. And 2024 is about 35% hedged. We will continue hedging as we move forward in time and 2024 becomes closer. While energy prices are increasing, the net revenue forecast is relatively rosy. Right now, we're forecasting $20.5 million of net revenues, which will be a very nice change of pace from the past few years when the net revenue value has been very tight due to the impacts of the energy price increases over the past several years. And the net revenue forecast is positive because the retail revenue increases are expected to increase at a higher rate than power cost increases in the short term in 2023. And then for 2024, we also have a positive net revenue forecast creeping in for essentially the same reason, which is that the retail revenue rates that are forecasted are expected to be increasing over time at a faster pace than the power costs. And again, this is a very big change of pace from the past several years where we had the power costs increasing at a faster rate than the revenues, which are pegged to SCE's retail rates. Those increased at a slower rate. And so we were in a sticky situation over the past several years and then starting to move out of that now. So graphically, just going to show this, the charts on the left are for calendar year 2023. Charts on the right are for calendar year 2024. While DCE's budget operates on a fiscal year, starting July 1, power procurement tends to happen on a calendar year. So we project financial outlooks on that calendar year basis and then translate it for the budget process that will happen later this year. So as you can see, the orange bar is the revenues that are expected for calendar year, and the blue is the cost. And the net of the two is that $16 million. That was what we were expecting to occur when I was last in front of the DCE board presenting back in October. The increase can be seen in the chart on the right under current. So increase of a little over $4 million in expected net revenues, increased costs, but the retail rates expectations are higher than the increase in the costs. And then a similar story for 2024. The main difference is that there's been a significant jump in the expected revenues. And this is due to the change in the forecast for what we believe SCE's rates will be in 2024, and DCE sets its rates off of SCE's rates. Digging into that for a little bit more detail, just looking at the total revenue change, the expected revenues are up $6.5 million from the last time I presented in October. For this year, and for next year, up $24.1 million. So that's, again, on the back of a expected increase in the SCE rates. And then total costs up for 2023 by about $2 million, and also up for 2024 by about $6.7 million. So we are seeing increased wholesale energy prices, and the rates are sort of going along with that as well. So that leads us to the kind of the final chart that you just saw. We're up $4.5 million from expectations last October for this calendar year, and up $17.4 million from expectations for 2024. And the one thing I really want to draw the board's attention to is the fact that, in a 3-month span, the forecast for the net revenues for next year shifted by, $17.4 million. I wish I could say that that was unusual for this industry, but as Tom and David are well aware, it's unfortunately just becoming more and more common with a very volatile energy industry. So that is something that we do our best to manage with risk management practices. But the best way to manage this sort of sudden changes in expected net revenue is by having money in the bank to manage these sort of wild swings. You know, right now it's 2024 is forecasted to be, you know, quite positive. I've been in front of this board over the past 2 years showing, you know, wild swings in the negative direction as well. So the main drivers of the change in expected retail rates are the SCE rates that DCE models its rates off of. As the board is likely aware, the DCE has two different products that it provides to its customers. One is Desert Saver, which is given at a discount to the SCE rates, so modeled the same as the SCE rates with a slight discount for the DCE customers. The other is the carbon-free product, which comes at a slight premium to the SCE rates for the premium product of having completely carbon-free energy delivered to the customers who are in that product. So because both of these products are modeled off of the SCE rates, tracking the SCE rates is quite important. And so this is a forecast that we work in concert with the DCE staff to develop. The orange line is the generation rate for SCE. And you can see that it's up in 2023, goes down a teeny bit in 2024. The bump up is the typical generation increase that occurs over the summer months. Wholesale energy prices are higher. So the rate structure reflects that reality in the product beneath it. The 2024 rates are slightly lower than the 2023 rates. However, on the generation side, they're up from where we were expecting they would be last October in terms of the forecast. The blue line is the SCE PCIE rate, which is called, the PCIE stands for Power Cost Indifference Adjustment. And the point of the PCIE is to make customers indifferent on generation that was procured on their behalf before they left SCE and joined DCE. So generation that was procured on DCE's customers' behalf before 2020, such as a long-term power plant that was built in, say, 2015, those costs still need to be paid for over the lifetime of the project. And DCE's customers leaving would put the SCE bundled customers at a disadvantage unless the PCIE was applied. For the impact on DCE customers and for DCE rates in general, seeing a lower PCIE is better than seeing a positive one. And for the first time in its history, the PCIE is going below zero for SCE. And what that means is that the resources that were procured on DCE customers' behalf prior to them joining DCE are now earning more revenue in the market than it costs to pay for them. And so that revenue generation that they're essentially earning in the market is then paid to DCE customers in the by way of a negative PCIE amount. So having the PCIE be negative for 2023 and forecasted to be negative for 2024 as well is valuable for DCE's customers and is part of the reason why we see this increase in the net revenues for DCE. And then the other piece of what goes into the net revenue value is, of course, costs. And there are a lot of components that make up DCE's energy bill, but the biggest one is just the wholesale energy prices. So this chart shows the peak and off-peak prices. Peak hours are the hours, essentially daylight hours, Monday through Saturday. And off-peak are the middle of the night hours, as well as Sunday and holidays. And so peak hours tend to be more expensive than off-peak hours. The blue line is all for October, with the solid line being for the peak hours and the dashed line being for the off-peak. And so if we put on the peak and off-peak values that we're now seeing in the market here in February, several months past October, you can just see that these have ticked up over time. So the peak hour is pretty much all more expensive, particularly in those summer hours. And we are seeing a rise in off-peak prices as well. That is based on some significant market volatility we had at the end of last year. That didn't really impact DCE's financials because we were already fully hedged for that time period, but did sort of spook the market in terms of where energy prices can get to. And so that's being reflected in a higher off-peak price than we would otherwise expect to see in the winter months.
Jacqueline, let's quickly wrap this up. I know we've got, there we go.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Members, do you have any questions about the
meeting I have to get back to? And
do we have any questions about the projections?
This looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. With a new board, it sure seems like all the information is really turned around. So you'll have to talk to your predecessors. We used to get really challenging information for these.
I remember some of those.
I know you've seen those. Yeah. With that, Chair and Vice Chair, we did remove, at least for now, item E off our agenda. The next is really your schedule of next board meetings. I'd ask you have your calendars up. And at this time, we do have virtual meetings and we'll at CVAG and related committees through the end of this month. And as Erica could share with you, the board can continue to make findings and continue to do virtual is certainly our interpretation and supported by BB&K. So as long as you're willing to keep making the findings, we'll do virtual meetings. And I know a lot of our member agencies, whether it's Palm Desert and Palm Springs and others, are going into in-person meetings, but there are some agencies that still are not. If you have questions about that, Eric would be happy to respond. But we could, at the very least, set the next meeting date and time, which would be...
Let's set the next meeting date and time, and unless there's an objection, I'd like to have that one be virtual, and then perhaps after that, we can take a look at meeting in person.
All right, and Erica, we're looking for approximately a month from now?
Thank you, Tom, board members. The current schedule we know conflicts with some of your schedules. We were looking for some feedback on dates. In the interest of time, however, what staff can do is follow up, unless you want to pick a date now. The current date, I believe there may be a conflict. If you were to maintain the board meeting from before, it is in the packet there as March 20th.
March 20th.
That date works for me.
I can do March 20th.
March 20th at 3 p.m. We will count that as our next meeting date and adjust others accordingly. Thank you.
Very good. All right. That brings us to number 9. Is there any information that needs to be reported?
No.
Okay. Then public comments on non-agenda items.
Chair, we received no written comments and we have no hands raised.
All right, thank you. So I appreciate moving the schedule along on my account and thank you all. We are adjourned until 3 p.m. on March 20th.
We'll see you all.
Yeah, thank you.